The US President Joe Biden has said that Ukraine's incursion into Russia poses a dilemma for President Vladimir Putin. In his first public words about the move, which started last Tuesday, President Biden said his government has been in direct and constant contact with Ukraine. He did not say whether he had been given advance notice of Ukraine's intent to move its forces into Kursk in Russia. A spokesperson for his administration said that the operation was an acceptable use of American weaponry, despite previously restricting the use of US missiles on Russian soil. It's believed around 800 square kilometres of Russian territory have been seized. Both countries are divided over the number of communities which have fallen to Ukrainian forces, 74 versus 28, and thousands of civilians have been moved from their homes. Let's go to Ukraine now and talk about the ongoing incursion with Dan Saba, defence and security editor with Britain's Guardian newspaper, who is in Sumy. Dan, you're very welcome. Good morning, and thanks for taking our call. Maybe you would start by describing where Sumy is.
Sumy is the largest city. It's a Ukrainian provincial capital in a relatively quiet part of the country in the northeast. But it's about 45 minutes drive from the Russian border, in more than one direction, but to the northwest, to the north and northeast. And most importantly, it's the first big city you come to behind where the Ukrainian advance has been. You know, what Ukraine did Tuesday last week now was surge across the border. This was a part of the country where the war had not really been fought very much over the last 2 years. Yes, of course, there'd been occasional bombing raids and so on and so forth, but the Russians really weren't expecting that attack. It was very, very lightly defended on the border. And the Ukrainians were able to surge across and have been able to make advances most days since then, controlling that perhaps 800 square kilometres of territory you were describing now. So, what you're seeing here is Sumy itself is a peaceful, normal city, but to the north of it, you've got a very sort of, increasingly militarized area, and in the distance where the fighting is taking place, a few dozen kilometers to the northeast.
So people in Sumy, are they largely unaffected by what's happening in Kursk?
Sumy itself is quiet and sunny. Yes, there are a lot of air raid sirens, and there have been some strikes in the city itself. There was one just as we were arriving into the area on Monday. A live strike that destroyed a building up. Went down to that site, quite destructive. There was quite a destructive impact. But Sumy itself is generally sort of fairly safe and peaceful. Really, the issue is much more in the villages towards the border. This is quite fairly agricultural land. What the authorities have done is they announced an evacuation as soon as the offensive started. The civilian authorities didn't have any forewarning. This was a surprise attack after all. But about 6,000 people were given the opportunity to evacuate and would be sort of given some help and help with fresh housing from the state. Those between 5 and 10 kilometres from the border, those closer had already been subject to an evacuation. So there is a sort of been a stream of refugees here.
Dan, are Russian soldiers being moved from the front line in the east to Kursk?
Well, I think one of the questions is you're touching on it there. What's the kind of military utility of this? I mean, this is, exciting to talk about. It's the first time Russia's been invaded since World War II. But if you scroll out on the map, it's still a relatively small area for what is a very vast country and a very, very large war. There is some preliminary evidence that Russian soldiers are being moved from the east. That's where they've been making steady gains, maybe a kilometre a week on the sort of central eastern front. And Ukraine's getting increasingly worried about that. So one of the ideas might be just to sort of force Russia to reposition its forces, stretch its own lines and so forth. We might know that in a week or two, have a clearer idea of that. I mean, at the same time, there's a lot of risk for Ukraine because this is very embarrassing for Vladimir Putin. So what if Russia wants to push out Ukraine's forces in strength or manages to do so? This is an unstable situation. Whatever happens, it will look very different in a couple of weeks or a couple of months' time.
Well, does Ukraine have the soldier numbers to sustain it?
It's un- It's unclear. And of course, there's a not only is there the normal fog of war, but Ukraine is trying to keep information as tight as it can about this operation. We know they've committed a few thousand troops. That's a start, but it's not a lot by the standards of this war or a large war. And Russia does have a lot of forces available, potentially over 500,000 soldiers within Ukraine itself. So it could certainly redeploy some. Russia's often very chaotic in its initial response, and Ukraine has shown it's been quite nimble with this attack, making heavy use of tanks and armored vehicles to sort of gain ground to keep the Russians off guard. So it's the sort of smart small army against the lumbering large one. And that's a battle we've seen, many, many times so far. Can Ukraine sustain it? We really can't tell. But it's done quite well, better, I suspect, than a lot of people have expected when they crossed the border Tuesday last week.
So the question is then, what do they do next? Do they withdraw? Do they keep going? Do they hold on to the territory, use it as a bargaining chip with Russia to get their territory back?
I think that there are some options here, and Ukraine doesn't want to signal what its strategy is for very obvious reasons, and it may not know itself in war. The secret is to be flexible. I think in the first instance they're hoping militarily, that's right, as we discussed earlier, that they can force Russian troops to move from the east and relieve some of the increasingly desperate pressure that Ukraine faces there. But there might be the question that if Ukraine can dig in and expand perhaps the amount of territory that it can hold, maybe it becomes increasingly embarrassing to Russia. Maybe there's a prospect of peace talks that Vladimir Putin has kind of aired but never been that serious about. Maybe there could be a kind of swap of territory, but there would be still a lot to, we've got a lot of steps ahead, and Ukraine really wants NATO membership, and Russia said it really doesn't want to, that's a red line for Russia. So whilst you might say it could be used as a bargaining chip, it's really hard to see what the end game of any negotiations is.
Because Zelensky has talked about continuing until Russia agrees to a just peace. What does that mean? Is that a change in the language from the Ukrainian leader?
Not particularly, but I think that a just peace could mean a lot of things. Ukraine said it's wanted, for example, reparations from Russia. That might be an just peace. It was, Russia that launched the full-scale invasion, after all, not Ukraine. On the other hand, it's not something you could obviously see the Kremlin conceding. So I think it's a rhetorical phrase that's meant to sound good and strong in front of one's own people. But the proof would be in the final negotiation. I think it's been a long war here and a difficult war. So are people in Ukraine ready to negotiate? Potentially, but only on the right terms.
Dan, thank you very much. Dan Saba, Defence and Security Editor with The Guardian newspaper.